Well, let's get started. First, I want to, thank you guys for contributing furniture and moving, helping Afghans. I feel like every time I see them, they're like incredibly thankful for the church, and they mention it over and over, right? And so if you think about it, like, a few years down the line or many years after they've established themselves and they're successful, like, they'll think about this time that, they were in need and how the church, like, really helped them. And I think they said they'll always remember that. So I think, thank you guys for doing that. And you even, like, they were mentioning yesterday, too, that, like, they told their family and extended family in Afghanistan, like, oh, you know, this church is so kind and helpful to them. And I think their uncle, like, just thanked us. Like, so even what we do now doesn't just affect the family here, but news of it spreads to another country, right? And so that's the power of the church. So I want you guys to know that. So today is the final lesson. And it's not even quite a lesson, more of a review. But I'll tell you that, honestly, in preparing for this lesson, I was a bit scared. Like, no other lesson where I was actually scared, and I had to pray through this, and, like, because I think I want to ask at the end for commitment. And it's always hard to ask for that because, like, you know, you don't know if anyone will respond, and, if no one does, it's okay. But, I had to let go of, like, oh, yeah, if no one responds, like, do I look bad? And I don't care about that, and I just have to, you'll see what I mean when I ask it. So I've been praying about that, and I've, just asking God, what do I even ask? So, before we get to that, I just want to, from last week, we were talking about multiplication and church planting. I do want to briefly touch, just really briefly share with you the end of that. Okay, so let me share screen. Okay, so we started talking about what are some principles of church planting movements. Okay, and remember we talked about, we showed the picture of the church multiplying, and we started talking about it, but I want to give you the list. I don't want to spend too much time on it, but and some are self-explanatory. And some require a little bit of understanding. So I've shown you the list. I'll just say the first one is focus on one people group. What that means, remember, this is planting a church in an unreached area, okay? So while there's some of these principles may be applicable to us, some of it are unique to that church situation. And so focusing on one people group is one way to, it's easier for one people group to gather in one church and have community, and instead of targeting multiple people groups at once, right? Because first of all, it's really hard to try to understand and learn about all the different people groups. Each people group is so different. Different languages, different culture, and it's too hard for a missionary or a team to go in and focus on multiple things, right? Ideally, you could, but, like, it's best to focus on one, okay? Number two, indigenous church, meaning let the church be of the people, meaning when a Western missionary goes into this church, like starts a church, like the tendency is for that Western missionary to build a Western type church, right? But you can see that the culture is different, right? And so if you do that, people who are initially drawn to it, the the target group that you are going to is not going to really connect with them. And they're not going to be able to adapt to that. And they're not going to, it's not going to grow because you've set it up in a Western style. Okay. So it's always like funny, you know, those pictures like in some country, a tribal country, and these people are in like Catholic robes and like in the choir. I'm not trying to put that down, but it just seems like, well, why not have the church look like the church, right? The church of the people there. And so that's one of the principles. I just want to leave the rest of it. Is there anything here that you feel like needs explanation or like that you kind of like, huh, I never thought of it that way? Some are pretty straightforward. And some are probably ones that we don't do very well. What do you guys think?
Look at number 11.
Okay.
Because I'm not understanding why it has willing in there. It's like, don't put willing people into existing slots.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's a good question. So what I mean by willing is that, you know, members of this new church are willing to serve. Yes, that's one thing. But if you try to force them into one slot, okay, that may not be good, because you may have an idea, okay, to start a church, I need this, I need like worship leader, I need a preacher, I need this, I need an usher, I need all these things, right? But they may not be used to that, okay? And so they're willing to serve, and you know, but if you try to plug them into something in the organization, that doesn't really grow them, okay? And doesn't really spontaneously grow that church, right? It's rather to have that, understand that person's gifting and to go with that and build ministries around those people, right?
Okay, because then it says gifted there as well. So I wasn't sure if that meant like either gifting or where is my talented, you know, mm-hmm. like, because if somebody was gifted with music and they're willing, are we not going to force them into music? Like, is that what it means? Or is it like they just have talents elsewhere? I sort of get it.
Right. I don't know if there's necessarily like you're talking about spiritual gifts or just talents. And if not force, it's like, yeah, you want someone to lead people in worship, right? And mm-hmm. so you build, if you have that person, you build around that person, okay? But let's say I need this person, I need this role. So it's basically, what do you value? Do you value the role, or do you value that person and the gifting that person, that God has given them? So, yeah. Any other things?
What is doctrine?
Doctrine? Okay, so you're talking about three. Okay, that's a very important. Doctrine is like understanding like the theology, or you know, the study of God, or like principles in the Bible. Okay, I'm not saying that's not important, not at all. I'm saying the first thing you do is to teach people to obey the word of God. Okay, they don't have to know everything. Okay, in fact, they don't know, starting a church, they don't know very much, right? But sometimes churches, like we as the Westerners, come in and we think they need to have correct theology, which they do. They need to have correct understanding of the Bible, but we emphasize that so much at the expense of obedience. We said, you can't do anything until you know everything. Okay, well, that's not true. You God will build into that as you seek to obey God, right? And we it's not like we ignore the Bible, we teach from the Bible, but we don't emphasize like you have to know everything before you start doing. Because day one, a new believer, you teach them how to obey Jesus' commandments rather than giving them all these sermons or like all this homework. So any other thoughts?
I think the interpersonal relationships, you know, I think those are so hard, you know. I would love to see that work, like, you know, in our church. But sometimes it's just, you know, for example, looking at like showing people have edified their own people, you know, or develop positive and meaningful disciple relationships, or, you know, you know, just like how to, that relationship between people, sometimes it's so hard to show other people that, you know, and have them carry that on.
Right.
You know, I think people like to have that, like from somebody, but they may not want to keep going, like, to the next person.
Sure.
You know, so I think that's always the struggle.
Right. And I'll say it's harder for an established church to do that. But remember, this is a church plant. So, like, let's say this church is a 5-people church, right? And so you start, if you start with that and you build that into the foundation of the church, then it's easier than to start when I'm not saying we don't do this at all, right? But it may not be to the extent that, you know, you or I desire, right? So it's harder to, if there's already a church culture that doesn't do that in terms of then planting the church. Okay. All right, so this could go on forever. And these ideas are not, you know, for me. These are like experienced missionaries who have like church planted in all sorts of the world. And this is kind of the principles that they've developed. Yes.
Can you share what we saw with Morgan in China as it relates to what she was sharing? So Arthur and I took 2 separate trips to visit missionaries working with a group in Southwest China in Yunnan. And so we watched them just meet with new converts. So a Western missionary meeting with new converts every week to teach them Bible, to worship together, and for accountability and to support them. And those new converts with very little spiritual background would then go into the villages and start building relationships. And they would do that for years. And when the missionaries were kicked out, it's really interesting to see how the Westerners were forced to come back to the U.S. They're still carrying on those Paul Timothy relationships, or this one person thinking of like virtually.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're doing virtually, and still those young believers are still going into the villages and trying to do what my Western missionary friend did with them to kind of do it with the villagers. Mm-hmm. And it's just so painstaking work, but it's kind of how they grow these little units. We may not even consider it church, but they're like little gatherings, fellowship gatherings in the villages.
Okay, so now I want to quickly kind of turn back to a review. Okay, so before I go, I want us to think about through the, you know, we started this in late October. So the last 4 months, we've been talking about missions, and, you know, the title of the Sunday school was Discover Missions, right? It was kind of like an introduction to missions, but I think we covered quite a bit. Okay, so what I'm asking you, the class, like, what themes or topics or even Bible verses or activities, what impacted you? Like, what are some things that off the top of your head, or maybe it's nothing even directly related to what was taught, but something that you've been wrestling with, a question, or what kind of things? I want to hear from you guys. And if you need help, I've written down some. There's 3 pages of this, but I'll let you kind of look through it. But if there's something that just jumps out at you already, like, feel free to share online too. Please unmute yourself. You don't have to wait till the end, but anything that particularly impacted you.
I think I was sort of shocked that there was only 2% or 5% of funding actually went to the really unreachable person on Earth. Mm-hmm. And because all along the you would be supporting all this missionary going out and I mean, you going up and way hearing other brother and sister that who actually goes to other churches, we'll support missions, but really just 2% of
that's
the
enough.
Went.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow. Which is very surprising that we actually use a lot of money for the people that go the property already know flies.
Right.
And I wonder when can the whole earth be able to know flies
with the
rates that we are going.
Right. That's good, right? You think about all that we give the church and what a church spends on. And, you know, obviously we have to pay the pastors and the family and all that. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's actually much less than 1%. And I calculated once, it was like 0.0% goes to unreached missions, right? Because we already counted that of the missionaries that we send out, only 3% go to unreached, right? So if you're just talking about mission in general, most likely you're supporting a missionary that's going to a reach place. And there's nothing wrong with that, again, but is it truly the greatest need? Any other things?
I mean, I think I learned like a lot in this class. You know, there are many things I can't even say like what's the most, you know, what's the most to me, because there are just so many. I think reading that list, there are many that actually gave the things that, you know, kind of opened my mind. At least I think what was really good was it started a perspective in my mind that I never formulated as clearly before, you know. I guess, like knowing that I can do more, you know, knowing that there are ways in our community to reach out, even, you know, that there are these unreached people here with us. You know, I've always struggled, like, you know, I don't believe that we're called overseas. I mean, although I'm not going to close the door, you know, prematurely, but like, you know, how else can I kind of participate in missions, you know, in a different way than just here in our church, right? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, and I think I've been open to many of those possibilities, and also just having more of and that my heart is more connected to these people, you know, meeting the activity of meeting them and actually in person, hearing their stories and how they came, and just thinking about that from a worldwide perspective. Yeah, I think just build in a lot of that blank perspective. You know, I now feel like I have a picture, you know, of what missions mean to me. So I think it's inspiring, you know, for me to go on in the future to have that in my frame of mind.
Any other thoughts? What impacted, and I'll go back to, these are the topics we've covered. Anything in particular that has impacted you? Even just kind of what Sydney shared, like, it may not be one topic, but a certain impression that, or a certain question that you can ask of God.
Well, I think the like the overall, I don't have to learn topic, but I think, you know, you introducing this topic, honestly, this is the first time I've, like, you know, I've been in church all this time, right? It's the first time that it's been more, that's been covered,
mm-hmm.
and we're that, and you said this is not even, this is just an introduction, right? So I'm actually processing a lot, because even in my life, in my season, time is very limited, and like, but there's so much. So, you know, processing this in a way that I haven't processed before,
mm-hmm.
in terms of the word, do I put my trust? I think that's the most, that's the main thing that I don't have an answer yet.
Mm-hmm.
Are there, and it's bothering me,
mm-hmm.
in a good way, right?
Right.
So, where do I put my time in? Of course, it's in church or as a whole, right?
Right?
It's in God's kingdom. But my question is, what area,
mm-hmm. right.
of God's kingdom?
Right.
Right? Because God has called us in different ways.
Right.
So that's been the process. And because of the class, that has really encouraged me to kind of seek that out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know when that will happen, but I'm sure if God started it, you know, he's going to kind of bring it to some type of understanding and clarity in your mind. Yeah. So I'm still seeking clarity.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. I'm glad you're asking that question, because
mm-hmm.
I think that's a question we all should ask. Like, what specifically is God leading me? What should I invest in? What
right.
should I spend my time in, my energies?
Right.
Yeah, I can't do everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so... And I think I want to link what Sydney said and Frank said, is like starting with the big picture. Now that we understand God's plan, God's vision, God's task for the church, if we have that overall vision, then we start beginning to ask the specific questions, like, how am I supposed to be involved in this, right? I know this is worthy of being involved, right? But how do I do this? Okay, that question has to linger, and you have to go back and dwell on it and pray and like work through that. But I think if we're sincere with that, I think God will honor that and he will answer that question in his time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any other thoughts? Anyone from online?
Not online, but so I was under similar to Sydney and Frank. we all know the Great Commission, right? But then just like, besides the people that actually go out in the field, like, how do we, as individuals and as a church, like, accomplish that?
Mm-hmm.
So I think just going over everything and having those, like, six ways to reach the world, thing like that also help just to understand. And, like, you know, the Afghan or the refugee, just those are just, you know, cool ideas and different ways of doing things that I never thought about.
Mm-hmm.
Those are kind of like, we are saying just like those are, we can now have a better picture of how we as a church and how me as an individual can get involved in missions, like besides just like praying for my dad or whatever, you know,
okay.
like what else can we do?
Right.
That's cool.
That's great. And I think that's the first, even when I started off, right, when we had the first conception of our misconception of missions, right, we only think, okay, only people who go out can participate in missions, right? And that's very limiting, especially for us here, right? But we found all these ways that, no, we can be involved, yeah.
Also that, like, there's so many, the job's just not even close to done.
Uh-huh.
And then there's also, like, so many people here, like, locally that
yes.
are on mission.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, anyone online? Here,
we had the number 39 cultural exchange,
mm-hmm.
Barbecue,
mm-hmm.
potluck, and I think it's when we get to know them, or more than just a general idea, you feel for them too. Like after the potluck, then I keep on thinking about them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good to have occasions to have exchanges, That's great.
Right. That's good, Janet, because I feel like we need to be exposed, right? If it's only on what we talk about in Sunday school, that's one thing, right? Or if it's like only show a video, that's one thing, right? But as if we expose to people who are in need, not just materially, but, you know, of the gospel, then we begin to develop relationships. Then we think like more concretely, how do I love this specific one person or this family? Like it becomes much more real, right? And so, yes, I hope that we can, as a church, do more. It doesn't always have to look like what we did last week, but more ways that works. We're putting ourselves out there and exposing ourselves to God's will. Okay, great. Anyone else?
Can't even taking it a step forward. I never imagined just even getting to know these people. They become like friends, right? And then you start to think about their dreams and their hopes. And maybe if you feel led to develop those friendships, you might see how you can walk alongside of them. For example, the mom beginning to learn English, but I think her dream of wanting to set up her catering business to be able to sell her food. She's such a good cook, and that's her passion. So you just start to envision. And who knows, you know, how that would unfold, or just hoping their neighborhood might help them in that way. Mm-hmm. But I think this particular family is very welcoming. They really value long friendships, and they really see that in us as a church.
Right. Yeah. Once you get to start to know them, you start, like Grace brought up, like you start to root for them. You want them to succeed. Like when they're looking for apartments, many, many places close to them, right? And so you start praying and like you start hoping, like when you hear that news that they found a place, like you're excited, right, for them, right? And so that, those kind of things, that if they develop the business or they're successful, you're a part of that too. So that can only do if you are willing to put yourself out there. So, okay, any last things? Okay, so now what? Okay, I'm gonna throw this verse out there, James 4:17. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. So you can blame me for that. You know, like I talk to all these different things, and if you fail to do it, it's sin. I'm sorry. No, but the reality is that like this is all in God's word, right? We're responsible for it. Right. And so I know this, a lot of you have mentioned like mission, this is like new, and the church historically has not taught it. Okay. But we're still responsible for what's in the Bible. Right. So please don't blame me. Okay. But let's talk about this, because like so after I reviewed this list, I was thinking to myself, like, what topic did I not cover as well? Like what topic I didn't emphasize? And I looked through it, I prayed about it, and I felt that there's one area that I just de-emphasized, okay? And that was going, okay? Because I wanted to make this mission accessible to everyone, you know, and accessible meaning like, you know, if we think about going, a lot of us don't think about going, and so we shut down. We don't like, that's not for, mission's not for me. Right. So I want to make it accessible, but at the same time, I want to emphasize, and this is what Jesus emphasized, is that there is a huge importance of going, right? It's built into the Great Commission. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, right? And so I want to kind of revisit that, okay? So do you know how many people how many Christians in America is there one missionary out of? Okay, so for every one missionary, how many people are here? Like choose to stay. What's your rough estimate? One foreign missionary per how many Christians?
Here in America.
Throw out a number.
50. it will be nice to say one per church, so it's like 1 out of 300.
Okay, 1 out of 300. Okay.
I don't think it's that high, but
okay.
That's 1 out of every church.
Okay. What do you think? Higher, lower? That's a good starting point.
Higher.
Okay, so 1 out of what?
Only lower in terms of percentage.
Okay.
One out of 1,000.
Okay. Okay, 1 out of 1,000. Anyone going higher?
I'd probably say lower.
Oh, lower, okay. Mm-hmm. 1 out of a few hundred. Okay. Okay. So the actual number is 1 out of 1,800. 1,800 people. Okay. So 1,800 Christians. Okay. One. So if a church, let's say our church, let's just round it up. Let's say we're about 180 people. Okay. It would take 10 of our sizes church to have one person go out to foreign missions. Okay. I'm not even talking about unreached, just foreign missions. Right.
You have a long term here, right?
Just long term. Yeah. Long term. Yeah. So 1 out of 1,800 people.
So if we're getting a couple, then that's 3,600.
Yeah, that's beats the percentage, right? That's good, right? If we just send one, or if we send half a person, I don't know what sending half a person is for. We're doing well, right? Okay. So the question, but we've seen the need, right? We've talked about the 1040 window, and we talked about the great imbalance, right? There's this area of the world that has no, almost no Christians, right? No Bible, no church, and we're not sending hardly anyone there, right? So there's clearly a need that, and Jesus says it, right? We pray for more workers, right? Because the harvest is plentiful, right? And it's true 2,000 years ago, it's true today, right? We need, it has to be better than one in 1,800, right? If we're, you know, maybe we'll talk about the money, right? The money is one thing. We don't even spend 1%, right? And the people, we don't even spend one, you know, send 1%. So clearly we need to do that. And so I want to ask you this question. I know it's a hard question, but to think about, would you go? God asks you to go, would you go? And this may not be a question that you can answer right at this point, but clearly, Jesus asked us to go, right? And then, if not, maybe God asks people to stay, right? He clearly called Paul and Barnabas to go, right? And certain people stayed in Jerusalem and Israel, and he called some people to stay, right? If you decide, okay, well, God has not, we'll talk about calling. But if you decide to stay, the other question is, will you send your children? Okay.
You're talking about specifically going to the unreached.
Yes, people. Going to unreached long-term foreign missionary
service. Stop asking these hard questions.
would you, this is why I debated asking this question. Would you send your children? Because like maybe God has called you to stay. You know, a perfect example is Pastor Alex and their family. They were ready to go. They were going to go. Okay. God said, stop them because of brain tumor, but he asked them to stay, to mobilize, and to be pastor of this church, right? And, you know, I don't want to speak for them, but then the question is like, will they be willing to send their children? So that's the question you have to ask yourself. Okay, so what are some your own personal barriers to going, right? To going long term. I'm not talking about 1 week or 2 week or a short-term trip. What are your own personal, what kind of says like holds you back? There could be many, many things and many legitimate things. So don't be afraid to share. What holds you back?
Well, something, fear of the unknown. not sure what you're getting into, to a place you've never been to. Not sure if you'll gain results too.
Okay. Fear of the unknown. That's
family, leaving behind family.
Okay. Leaving behind family. Okay. Fear of the unknown, right? Well, even if we stay, there's lots of unknowns, right? We stay here and we worry about so many things that are unknowns, right? Okay. Now, I understand what you're saying, Janet. I think it's true. There's even more unknowns out there, right? Will we even be successful? Okay. That's another question. Okay. What other barriers that you would have?
I think I will concern on physical ability and do I have enough gift? Do I have enough love to love others? Mm-hmm. And yeah, am I willing to give up everything? Mm-hmm. Because you're going from a foreign land, you don't know anything, and what's your ability?
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. And I don't know if everyone heard it online, when Mabel was saying you question do you have the ability? Do you have the faith? Do you have the, willingness to sacrifice? All these things, and those are honest questions, right? And I would be surprised if any missionary who actually went didn't ask those questions, because you have to ask those questions. Do I have that? Do I have the gifting, the ability, physical, all this stuff, right? But where I'll say that where we lack is where God comes in, right? Any other personal barriers?
I wouldn't call it social anxiety, but my personality isn't one to just go talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even good at sharing the gospel here. So mm-hmm. It's gonna be even harder somewhere that I don't know the language, don't know the people. Yeah, so it just doesn't fit my personality,
but
myself.
Okay. And actually, that was a big personal barrier for me as well, because I've shared before, I felt growing up very shy, painfully shy, right? And I see Paul in the Bible, and I see other people go out, they're so extroverted and this and that. But I realized as I meet missionaries on the field, some of them are very introverted, or that's not their natural tendency, right? But there's something in them that God has given them that, yes, God didn't suddenly give them the gift of extroversion, right? But they went, they're faithful, and God had a role for them.
Who was the kid that we were talking to at the Chinese missions conference? The Stephen, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Stephen was sharing about his heart, his open heart for missions, and he's a computer engineer major. So we were just sharing with him about just how many IT needs there are. So missions doesn't really even have to involve what we typically think, right? The love of the people needs to be there, but there's so many very practical, real world tech, IT, communication, music, education, teaching things going on behind it.
Good point.
You're saying not a health missionary, but those doctors that go do doctor stuff in the field.
Yeah.
You say something similar to that, go work.
Yes. You know, a Harvard medical school grad in China 20 years, she never was a full-time doctor, but God used her in all the different ways.
He's in IT, healthcare IT. Mm-hmm.
But the wife is a physician. I'm talking about Jonathan Carroll.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Yeah. But we always see the IT needs in missions agencies. It's endless. Yeah.
Any other personal barriers?
All the people that do IT are shy.
I just think about how inspired I was by Paul and Maggie. I think that was one of the biggest. I think now that I think about it, I just said I can really pick one, but I think maybe that might be my top. Just hearing from them, meeting them, sitting with them, just hearing everything they were doing. But there was one thing in particular that really resonated with me that Maggie was saying, is that, you know, for me as a personal barrier, right? And like, if I were, and I really, I'm not saying this as an excuse, but I really think that, you know, like what she said, they were young and, you know, just married, not attached to anything, no children, and they were bold. You know, like I feel like if I, you know, took a class or whatever, like when I was in that state, I would be so much more emboldened to yes. move, you know?
Yeah.
But I think like the more you have, the more you have to lose. The more you have to give up, you know, so like five children, you know, like a church, you know, that you've attached all your tentacles to all these things, right? And I think she kind of shared that too. Like, I'm driving my kids into this, it's not just me now, right? But her perspective was so inspiring to me that, you know, she's given that up to the Lord, right? Because she knows that's where her calling is. So I think that would be a giant barrier for me, just my family and the church here, right? Because it's not just me now, right? Or me and James.
Right. Okay. So that brings up a few points, is that that's why we need to say this message to the young people, right? Mm-hmm. Like you said, the young people of college, this is because they're not attached to their own family yet, right? Who are the most people going out is the college age young adult population, right? Because I'll say number one of the biggest barriers is family, right? You have a family, and I rarely do I see families go. Now, Paul and Maggie is different, right? They started when they had no family, right? And just them two, right? But they kept on going, and now they have a family, but they're still willing to go, right? And so, not that it doesn't happen, we know of people who brought their families over, okay? I want to list, so this is another hard verse. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. This is Jesus, what Jesus says. So, right, Jesus didn't make exception. Not that we're making excuses, but these are real honest concerns, right? Our family, right? Okay, other things. Parental disapproval, right? Many young people, they go and like, not even just any parent, Christian parents don't want them to go on missions, even short-term trips, let alone long-term trips. Why? Because you as a parent will understand this, right? Like, you love your children, you want to protect them, you don't want to, you know, put them in risky situations, right? That's your whole life, right? Or you don't want them to kind of waste their life, their education on it.
Is that more of a cultural thing? I'm just like asking the parents here.
Yeah.
Just, like, I feel like that would be more applicable to parents that raise their kids to take care of them when they grow up, you know? But for this generation, I don't know. I feel like, at least the parents that I'm seeing, like, you know, like they, I feel like you guys give off the impression that you guys would be okay with your kids just pursuing Christ. So is this more of an old school kind of concern, or is that still a thing for parents?
What do you guys think, parents?
Well, as a parent, well, I would be happy if my children went as on missions, but becoming a full-time missionary, I would have to think about it. Wouldn't be as I don't know. For definitely missions, I would support them, but not so sure full-time missionary.
And that's hard, right? That's a question like I brought up earlier. Will you send your children, right? And I'll share with you, I asked my children this like a few weeks ago, like, would you ever consider going as a full-time missionary to a foreign country? And I'll just share, one of them responded is like, I thought about it, says, well, I never thought about it, you know, which is, I think, a common answer. But she just thought about it and said, well, if your mom go, I'd be willing to go. Okay. And I thought that answer initially, I thought, okay, well, that's actually, that's good. That's like what a child would say, right? Like, if you guys go, I'll go, right? But think about this. I thought about it some more, and I thought, like, actually, that's what God asks of all of us, right? In the sense that if your earthly father goes to a foreign country and goes to missions, then you would go, like a child, right? But he's not asking more. He's asking you to be like a child. If your heavenly father is in these foreign countries, would you go? Would you, as a child of God, go? Because God is in these countries, in these places. Now, obviously, there's a faith. It's different, right? But it is the same principle, right? Do you have that childlike faith in God the Father that you would go because simply because God is there? Okay. And so there's many other things. I don't want to spend too much time. Okay. And I think Mabel brought up the American dream. That's a big one, preventing us from going. It's not, I don't think, like I said before, it's not that I think people are greedy. Like we have to have a mansion or this or that. But there's a sense that money is a security. My self-worth in my career, everything I do is for my family, that sense, okay? But is it really, like, how can we place the American dream with God's dream for us and for our children, right? Other thing, okay, this one's a big one, lack of calling, okay? This was big in the sense that everyone can say, I've never felt called to go, okay? But, okay, meaning they never had, what they mean by that is they never had this miraculous experience where God like appeared unequivocally in a dream or like in person, like an angel and said, you are to go to this country, okay? Very rarely, obviously, that does that happen, right? If that's the case, if that's how we define calling, then no wonder none of us have received the calling, okay? But the calling, there's three different callings, is the calling of the need, right? Someone says, I need help. That in itself is a call, right? When Paul and Barnabas prayed where to go, and he had a dream about the Macedonians, and said, we need help here. That's a call, okay? There's a general obligation of Christians to reach God's world. Right, that's clear. We've talked about this in the Bible, but there's the very specific command of Jesus to go make disciples of all nations. Right, that is a call. And so, why do we say that? Oh, I need a special calling to do what Jesus said. In fact, what you need a special calling for is the call to stay. Right, the default should be go because that's what Jesus said. And I only don't go if Jesus called me to stay. Why do we make it so that the calling to go into foreign missions is I need a miraculous sign from heaven to do that? Okay, how much are we hiding behind that? You know, finances, security, debt, those are big issues. Needs at home, but we talked about the great imbalance. Indifference to it all. Some people believe there's no hell, so what does it matter, right? Singleness, right? They're afraid of going and then you're not married, and I'll never find a spouse. Okay, these are, and you can add to this. There's many legitimate reasons, right? Oh, so I want to come to this now. Commitment. So in 1880s, there was student volunteer movement. Okay, they gathered about 250 college students from all over the country, and they met in Mount Hermon, and they prayed, and they presented the need, they presented God's command with the Bible, the vision of God, and they asked students, like, are you willing to go? And they asked them, if you're willing, sign this card. It says, it is my purpose, if God permits, to become a foreign missionary. And out of that 250 or so, 100 students signed this, and they went. Many of them went. And from that, many thousands of students went for mission. And again, 1880, think about what it meant for them to go. It meant months of traveling, sailing across the ocean. You went for life. There's no short-term missions, right? That's what they committed to, okay? So I thought for us, what commitment can we give, okay? So I made this form, okay? It says Chinese Christian Family Church in Welling, okay? Before mission. But I wrestled with this. It's like, what do I ask? What am I asking for myself? I'm included in this, right? Like, and for the church, okay? And I wrestled because like, it seemed it's too much, right? Like, are people ready? Am I asking for to be a foreign missionary? Is that too much, okay? But as I prayed about it, I thought, no, like God, I can't ignore God's word, right? God asks us to go. And so I have to ask of myself and of the church, okay? And so I'm asking this, the same thing. Is my purpose, if God permits, to become a foreign missionary? Are you willing to say that? Okay, but I thought, okay, this is given to students, right, back in 150 years ago, okay? We're somewhat different, okay? And if God asks me to stay, okay, I will commit my life to the task of reaching God's will. Okay? Okay. And I thought about this more, I prayed about it, and I thought, okay, yes, because God asked some of us to stay. But I don't want that to be a cop-out either. And so I thought, okay, I am willing to send my children as foreign missionaries, right? If God permits, and if that's what God leads them to do, are you willing to do that? Okay. So I actually have this here, form. Okay. I have pens here. Okay. I want you to take this and I want you to begin thinking about this question. Okay. Could you pass this out? Okay. And I'll share my testimony because I shared with you the first lesson because I had to ask myself this question. This was about 2015. I took perspectives and at the end of that course, as I was praying, I felt like God was asking me very specific questions, these questions. And God was asking me, one is like, I was praying and God was asking, Jesus is asking me, am I worthy? Am I worth more than these things? Am I worth more than these things? And he's quite specifically asking, am I worthy? Am I worth more than your house? Okay. And I had to say, okay, yes, I'm willing to sell my house and go. Okay. Then he started asking, are you willing to give up your career? Okay. Then I was praying about it. I was like, okay, yes, I'm willing to give my career. In fact, I had given up my vision of my career in Boston to come back to Southern California. So, okay, God, you can take my career. Okay. Now, then it started getting personal, right? God was saying, are you willing to give up your dream for your kids' education? At that point, I was like crying. Right. This is like after they fell asleep, they were like, it was just me and myself and God. Right. And like, I had to wrestle with it. And I said, okay, if God, if you're calling me to go, us to go, I'm willing to let them entrust you with their education. They may get a better education in a foreign land, more practical than they will ever in the US. Okay. I'm willing. And then God asked, like, are you willing, even at the expense of your family, even the expense of conflict with your wife, you know, because on the foreign mission field, there's stress, you know, there's stress. And I felt like I had to say to God, like, I'm willing because you're worth it. And in my mind, I'd signed this paper. So this is the question I'm asking you. Are you willing? Is God worth it? Is God worth it? So I want us to do this right now. I want us to pray. I know it's 10:30, but I want us to pray. And I'm going to have this music play. I really like the song. This has kept on reoccurring the last month or so. And let me share. Okay, so with all eyes quiet, you know, closed, well, we're gonna ask God these questions, pray, and I think maybe we can sing this together. But let's close our eyes and let's think, let's pray. This together. I have lyrics here.
Treating you like morning.
you, Jesus, or we love you, Lord. We want your name to be glorified in this world, Lord. And but we know we don't have your heart, fully your heart, but we're asking for more of your heart. For those in need, while we see wars and things around us in this world, people dying, Lord, without you, Lord, help us to be a part of your plan, Lord. And I pray for this church, Lord, I pray that we would answer your call, Lord, maybe not perhaps today, Lord, but in your timing, that we would wrestle with these questions, Lord. Are you asking me to go? Or are you asking us to send our children, Lord? Are you asking us, and you are asking us, Lord, to do whatever it takes, Lord, to reach your world, Lord? And that's a task you ask of us individually and as a church, Lord. And so help us, Lord. You promised that you would never leave us, Lord. And so, Lord, we believe in that, Lord, that you never leave us, Lord, whether we're here in the States or we're far off in a different country, Lord, you never leave us, Lord. And so thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just thank you for this time, and we just pray all these things for the glory of your name, Jesus. Amen. Okay. Well, thank you, class. I want you to keep this, and you know, I want to say follow up is that if you are kind of not willing to sign it at this point, that's okay. I want you to wrestle with this. But if you feel God is tugging on your heart and you just have some barriers, legitimate barriers, like I said, I want to follow up with you. So please contact me. Let me know, and I'm willing to meet with a small group of people. You know, obviously, not everyone can sign this, and I don't expect everyone to sign that, okay? But if you really feel that God may be leading you in that direction, you know, please contact me, and we can sit and talk. All right. All right, thank you, class. Have a good day.